Have you ever wondered if and when God will answer your prayers? Well, in this episode of The Vertical View, I speak with Mrs. Joy Bryant. She is the author of the book, God Talks Back, One Woman's Lifetime of Prayers and Their Unexpected Answers. Joy is a good friend who has an incredible prayer life. In our interview, Joy gives some behind-the-scene perspectives about prayers, answered prayers, and real-life stories of when God talks back. So, if you're ready, I know I am, let's get vertical. All right, so welcome, Joy, to The Vertical View.
Well, thanks, Chris. Great to be with you today.
So we're here to talk to Joy. We're going to talk about her book, God Talks Back, which is just a phenomenal read. And Joy, I first have to apologize. It took me way too long to buy the book then to read it.
I should have gifted it to you. That's what
you really should have. So we're going to kind of get to know Joy through three questions, right? And it's just for fun, just to kind of loosen us both up. We've had tea, so we're a little bit looser from the tea. There's nothing in the tea, it was just regular tea. But, so let's get into the questions. I just walked into that one. How did we first meet? Do you recall?
Well, you were a coach at Southern Wesleyan University, and it was before you became the athletic director. You were still basketball coach, and I was watching you lead.
Back in my young days.
Yeah, lead a group of folks to national championships.
So that would have been probably 04, well, 06, 07, in that range.
Yeah.
Back when we were both a lot younger.
Yes. And you aged and I didn't.
That's so true. So true. So what have you been doing career-wise? So we've both now transitioned out of Southern Wesleyan and into different things.
Yes.
In the Vertical View, people kind of know what I've been doing.
Right.
What have you been doing?
Well, after I retired from Southern Wesleyan, I spent a couple of years working in funeral services and finding that I really enjoyed walking along the side of families who were in crisis situations. And in that, the Lord opened up an opportunity to take my years of experience in management, higher education, working with people, and my love for ministry and ordination, and put all of that together and an opportunity to become full-time chaplain in the world of hospice has been my role for the last year.
So awesome, right? So fits your skill set, like you said. You listed off some of those things.
Yes.
So an interesting sidebar into this, and I've had a few episodes where I've talked about the funeral home. Joy is the one who pulled me into the funeral home industry.
Yes.
Which, as everyone knows, still freaks me out. But Joy made it so much easier to walk into the facility. So she's the one that's responsible for some of the stories that I've been able to share.
Yes. Well, you know, if my husband was here today, Chris, it's probably a good thing the Lord redirected me from full-time funeral services, because he only came to take me to lunch one time in the 2 years that I worked in funeral services, because he's not a funeral home fella. He does not go into funeral homes. And I said, honey, it's not the dead you need to worry about. It's the living you need to worry about. But he didn't appreciate that. So today he'll take me to lunch.
Okay, so you now work as a chaplain for hospice.
Yes.
All right. And so kind of give people an idea of what does a day look like for you?
Okay. Well, I work with a team called Medical Services of America, and we begin our day each morning reviewing all of our cases. We have a caseload in the upstate of just under 100 families that we work with. There's three chaplains that cover that territory. And so for me, I will be able to go in, work with patients and their caregivers. And as that proceeds through the progression of illness and as death occurs, I then, instead of like the days at the funeral home where you only have 24 to 72 hours with a family, I am gifted with the weeks and months leading up to death, and then I get to follow up with bereavement care for a year following death.
Oh, wow.
So I get to invest in these families and just walk alongside them during these difficult times and give them hope that there's a brighter day coming. That does not mean that grief is fast. It is not. I've written a series on grief, and that series is used to provide grief support on a weekly basis for those who might want or need that. And I am now training other facilitators that may have that desire for offering hope for those who are going through death and dying.
So, and she, Joy, who we're talking to today, the author of God Talks Back, currently works as a hospice chaplain. And so she just talked a little bit about her day-to-day. She is uniquely gifted for this. And her name just walks her into a room, Joy, and brightens the room even before she gets there. So I think just from beginning to end, uniquely skill-setted for this job. So let's talk about your kids. and I have a...
Do you have enough time for that conversation?
Yeah, we do. We do. But we'll keep it on the briefer side. What are they up to? How many? What are they up to?
I have two boys. They are both amazing young men, believers in the Lord, and both are married. My youngest just celebrated his 1 year. My oldest now has gifted me with two grandchildren, so my world as a ya-ya has exploded. And
ya-ya.
That's it.
I like
that. Greek for grandmother.
I like that. Ya-ya.
Yeah.
Okay, so their names.
Robbie and Brandon are my boys. They both were, they both attended Southern Wesleyan, are graduates of Southern Wesleyan. And that's where you met my youngest, Chris. You may want to tell how you remember him more than how a mother would want to be remembering a son.
Well, both of them are special. And I find them both hilarious. Your youngest definitely is, in my opinion, the most hilarious. Just from what he used to wear. And I don't know if he's still doing that, but
yes.
Big belt buckle. Most of the time he would wear a shirt and usually jeans and cowboy boots.
Cowboy boots is his signature. That's correct.
Right. So the youngest used to participate in track and field.
Yes.
And I can remember him, and he got really good at throwing the javelin.
That's right.
Just upper body strength that was unreal, athletic enough to be able to pick it up, and then through some coaching was able really to maximize those things and put it all together and found himself on the podium, right? And so doesn't the kid just go up there and rock it with his top singlet, but with jeans and his cowboy boots while he received his medal?
Yes.
In just regular fashion for him.
That's right. That was as natural as breathing for the rest of us. You know,
love it.
That's the beauty of both of my boys. They're unique in their own way. They're very comfortable in their skin. They don't meet a stranger. They are open to just being who they are. You would love spending time with my oldest, Brandon. He has been doing research into our heritage, and you'll find him on occasion out at Walmart with a kilt on. So as much as one wears cowboy boots, the other may be downtown in a kilt. So there's never a dull moment in the Bryant household.
No, and your husband is a hoot himself.
He is.
And so whenever we get together, It's I feel like I can just walk up and hug him. I never know what's going to happen after that, but Robin and I seem to have some kind of connection with that. So
yes,
and we've learned. Let's transition to the book, and we learn an awful lot about Robin in the book.
Yes,
and we'll get to that in just a second. But I kind of want to go here first. Like, how in the world, Joy? So you and I have known each other for a number of years now. How in the world did you decide to write a book? Like who does that?
Well,
obviously you do.
I can promise you my English teachers from high school never dreamed I would be in an interview about a book that I have written. That's for sure. But for me, it was more of a legacy. I really wanted my children, but more importantly, my children know my heart and know my testimony. But now that I have grandchildren, if for some reason my life ended before my grandchildren truly understood my story, then I wanted to leave them something that they would be able to read and understand who their Yaya was, the faith of my life, and the passion in which I live that life based on a relationship with Jesus.
Okay, so is that the inspiration behind the book then?
The inspiration behind the book was more helping people understand there really is a God that hears them when they pray. So that's the inspiration on each of the chapters. Each chapter is independent. It's a full story within itself. But the reason I would put those stories in print would be to encourage others. But ultimately, if I never sold the one book, ultimately it was to make sure my children and my grandchildren and eventually the next generations of my line of family would know the faith that I have.
And you do go into depth into that.
Yes.
And share some intimate stories around that. I want to tell you this. I was doing some interviews yesterday, like we talked about just before we came on. And I was talking to a colleague from my athletic director days. And I've talked an awful lot about my depression and anxiety over the last year on the Vertical View. And so this person knows those stories as well. And he's found himself in that very similar story now. And he said, Chris, I'm just wondering when God's actually going to talk back. And I said, well, isn't that an interesting segue? I said, I just read a book and I'm actually interviewing her tomorrow, the author. And I said, you need to read this. God Talks Back, because there's so many stories about how God seemed to take his sweet time getting back.
Yes.
And I said, you know what? He's going to. But he's called you to pray. He's called you to be where you are today. So what might you say to my friend who hopefully is going to read? I'm going to send this to him. What would you say to him who he's waiting to hear back?
Yeah. Well, number one, God is not like Santa Claus. You're not going to give him a list of prayers and then wait for Christmas and have them all show up under the tree. In the book, there are some prayers that are prayed and there is an immediate answer, mm-hmm. or within a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. But there are other chapters that are very clear. The process of waiting is not just a little bit of time, but the process of waiting a very long time. For one of the chapters, it describes the waiting period to be over 30 years. Mm-hmm. But the beauty of that is never giving up, trusting that God hears. He has been faithful in the past, and he is faithful in the present. And his timing is better than my timing, even though I have a preference of how I believe it should be done and when it should be done.
I think we all do.
Yes. I feel certain he has a sense of humor at times when I try to explain how he should answer my prayers when he obviously does such a better job of that than I would even think or imagine. Yeah. But I would say to your friend, don't give up. Processing the things that you have control over in your life, which is time management and prayer time and Bible study time and journaling. Do the things that you're capable of doing and let God do the things you're not capable of doing. Yep. And He can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And that's what I would tell your friend.
Yeah, and I also think, so after reading the book, again, we're talking with Joy Bryant, the author of God Talks Back, and you can find the book almost anywhere online. That's where I finally found mine. So I'd encourage you to go out there and buy the book and read it for yourself. But we try to encourage each other to say, God has put you there in that moment, so go ahead and shine where you're at. Mm. And I think that's another message within the book. But I want to go back to you use the word father an awful lot in the book.
Yes.
So you were talking about your father here on earth, but you were also talking about your uncles, mm-hmm. right? But you're also talking about God.
Yes.
And this might be a huge question, but I kind of want to unpack it because we just talked a little bit about the prayer that you prayed for your dad. Tell me a little bit the meaning behind those three fathers.
Okay.
To you.
Sure. Earthly father versus heavenly father versus those who step in and serve the role of father that may not be their official title. Mm-hmm. You referenced my uncles. Just a backstory that you can read more in the book, God Talks Back. My dad was an alcoholic, and our family was destroyed by that behavior pattern. And my parents divorced when I was only 9 years old. From that point forward, my dad was not very involved in my life. Therefore, all the things that a young girl goes through that a father figure would be kind of the filter for, boys that you date. My uncles decided that was their role to scare off all the guys.
Yeah, I like that.
Learning to drive a car, the straight shift, and learning a clutch and changing the gears. Learning to play football and basketball and just roughhousing. My uncles became that for me.
And some great stories about that. In a particular, the summation of you then getting a college scholarship.
Yes.
Which I found so sweet because it tied back into you and I first meeting and right. our connection of sport.
That's right.
Really cool.
The Lord gave me the ability to have some athletic ability. Now my boys, I try to tell them that's where they get their gift, but my husband's very athletic as well. But the Lord used softball to give me purpose as a teenager, to keep me out of trouble, to give me coaches that really invested in my life. So I had coaches that stood in as dads, my uncles that stood in as dads. But then as I was, one of the stories that I unpack in the book is being on the field and having that image of God cheering for me, and He used my uncles on earth because my dad was not available, and mentally or physically because of alcoholism. But my uncles would call out my number, they would call out my name, and they would say, "That's my girl." And so I often feel like that was also God. If I could have a mental image of my heavenly father stepping in, and the scripture says He's the father to the fatherless, then I could almost picture Him up on the hill during those games right beside my uncles. Yeah. And He would be saying, "That's my girl."
Yeah.
And so playing high school ball, winning the state championship in high school, going on and playing ball in college, God used these great men to just encourage me, to believe in me, and to keep all those crazy boys away until the right one, which was my high school sweetheart, Robin, came into my life, and he's still my favorite person in the world.
Yeah, he's pretty special himself, and it would be interesting to actually have the two of you talk together about then those experiences together. So
that's a different
that's
book.
A different book and a different episode, apparently. I found your recollection of that game and them cheering for you to be very much what you do now for people, right?
Yeah.
Joy speaks truth into people in such a, and this will sound corny, but a joyous way, and fills the room with excitement and anticipation that you can only feel uplifted. And so I can only imagine, as I was reading this book, I was imagining Joy doing that to me and others, in a particular now as she walks into rooms where it's very heavy and maybe even dark, that she's bringing light, that she's shouting to them in that moment, those families, those that are walking through maybe into death,
yeah,
but also then out of and away from it as their loved ones passed on. So I imagined you, as I was reading that particular story, what you do now, you're passing on that, and you used the word legacy earlier.
Yeah.
I think your legacy is beautiful in that way.
Oh, and thanks, Chris.
And you give images that if people know you a little bit, they're now seeing that lived out in your life. So yeah. I think the book is about some of your past, but I think the book's also shining what you're doing today.
I would agree with that assessment. You know, I would think that for you to say that, you have followed me around, because it's interesting. I do go into places that are very solemn and sad, and folks that are very desperate at times. And I enter, but I don't enter with an attitude of death and dying. I enter with hope and life. And just recently, I was in a home, and a gentleman said, my wife is dying, isn't she? And I said, well, today she's living. And let's celebrate the moments that we have of life. And we'll cross death when we get to death. And the wife was awake and alert when the husband had said that. And she looked at me, and at that moment, there was a twinkle that came into her eyes. And she recognized that she didn't have to be afraid of death. And that's the gift that I hope to give each of my families that I work with. One of the early questions when I do assessment is, are you currently afraid? And my hope is that together we can take that fear and lift it. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes and settles in among us and gives hope for such situations.
So one of the things that I really found interesting was the story about being at the, I believe it was at the beach, and the your battle in the moment about what you were going to drink out of the cooler. Okay, you remember that. And so I kind of, you might want to give away too much of the book, right? But I kind of want you to talk a little bit about, how does God talk to you?
Yeah.
Right? Because you do. You reference it a number of times, but I found that story to be so real. And again, I listened to it. I downloaded an app that was able to then record your book, and then I listened to it as I was driving. So as I was listening to that chapter and your battle in the moment, and then God, you heard God, and it was so real that you were looking around.
Yes.
But there's also been so many other instances that I know that you've had, and maybe you might share some of those that aren't in the book, that God just talked to you.
Yeah.
Like, I think you just have an uncanny relationship, but also, like, I think you guys talk more freely than maybe the rest of us get to. I don't know. Like, I want some of that.
Oh, Chris, Well, let's back up to talk about the day at the beach. It's the local beach. It's not like at the ocean. We called it Katichi Beach when I was a kid, but it was really out over at 12 Mile. It was a lake, but it was a little beachy area. And I think oftentimes if you think that something will never be a temptation to you, be careful is one of the things I would say to your listeners. Because if someone would have said that alcohol would have ever been a temptation for me, I would have said, no way, it destroyed my family. I don't want anything to do with it. It's not a part of my journey. Yeah. That particular day that you're referencing, I was, you know, teenage girl. It was early summer, and a bunch of us were at the lake, and there were no parents around. A cooler shows up. Cooler has a variety of choices. And in that moment, I thought, I'm going to choose something that is against everything that is my natural. Pepsi's my favorite, and it comes from that day because I made the wrong choice with alcohol initially. Took that, and you can hear all the details, but long story short, if you're not reading the book, let me just go ahead and spoil this one for you. I took the alcohol. I'm laying there. I had poured it in a Dixie cup because I thought that was the cool thing to do. I had taken one sip and set the Dixie cup in the sand. At that moment, I just laid back. My friends were in the water. I was alone on the sand and just resting in the sun shining down. Sun, S-U-N, and then all of a sudden it was sun, S-O-N, that spoke directly and said, what do you think you're doing? And at that moment, I actually thought my mom had showed up at the lake. And I opened my eyes thinking, oh, my testimony has just been wiped out. Who sees me doing this? Well, number one, no matter what we do, God sees. And at that moment, he gave me a choice. And what I did is I looked and I truly heard, what do you think you're doing? And when I looked up to see who was talking to me, there was no one around. No one. All of my friends were in the water. There was no one that knew me anywhere near me. And at that moment, I was like, who said that? And the Holy Spirit went from being audible, because what do you think you're doing was an audible conversation. The second part of that was, do you want to be just like your daddy? And that was a spirit conversation. And the response to that was, no, I don't want to be like my dad. And at that point, I literally drew a line in the sand, took my Dixie cup after only one sip out of it, poured the rest in the sand, got back up, went back to the cooler, and I picked up a Pepsi. And anyone who has been around me for the last 35, 40 years, they realize that, Pepsi. If I drink as much alcohol as I have Pepsi, then I would have been worse than my dad, not just equal to.
So when I was reading that portion of the story, and you finally used the word Pepsi, I put it all together.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I didn't know you during that time. And right. So then you said Pepsi. I was like, that's why she drinks so much Pepsi. Like, this is like, the story just slammed together in that moment for me. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. It was a choice. It was a choice that I made. And oftentimes in life, I never want to put myself and elevate myself above anyone. But people's choices truly make a difference. And you can make a choice and regret it. Mm-hmm. And the Lord can help you to redirect those early choices. And whether that was moments like it was for me, or whether that was years later, where I have friends that said, I wish I would have given my heart to the Lord sooner. And I'm like, we can't change the past, but we can take responsibility for the present. And when God talks back, Chris, He gives that to us in many forms. Sometimes it's audible. Oftentimes it's through a nudge, through a conviction, through a friend, through circumstances.
So is that where the title came from? God Talks Back.
Yeah, I think for me, God talks back is that in praying, that's us talking to God. Folks have asked me so often, how can you just pray so easily? And I said, because when I'm praying, all I'm doing is talking to God, like I talk to a friend, like I talk to anyone that will listen. And but when God talks back, it's his way of answering my prayers. And sometimes that answer is immediate, and sometimes that answer is delayed. But he is always talking back. Always.
I think that's the part maybe we forget, is that he's still talking
yeah.
back, even if he's not answered the specific prayer yeah, that you and I right. have.
There's been folks in the past that have said in speaking engagements, God says yes, God says no, and God says not now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, for me, sometimes the answer is very clearly yes, go forth and do it. Or sometimes it's very clearly no. Just recently, I saw a post and it said, for, you know, asking God bless it or God block it. And I thought that's perfect for a believer. Anything we say and do, we're asking the Lord to either bless it and let's move on with it, or block it and keep me from going down a road that I don't want to go, or that would hinder my witness, or that would hinder someone else coming into a personal relationship with the Lord.
So you referenced at the beginning of our conversation today, you referenced that your English teacher would be surprised that you were now an author. What did you find out about yourself? What did you learn while writing this book?
Well, I learned that I didn't have to be afraid to ask for help. I learned that God puts the people that you need in your life exactly when you need them. For instance, when he was preparing me to write this book, and I had started an outline of that just before retirement from Southern Wesleyan, with a plan that my first task in retirement would be to write this book. And who but would be placed right down the hall from my office but a retired English teacher who became my friend. And Peggy, if you're out there listening, you were a godsend, not just for Southern Wesleyan as an employee, but for a friend. And she walked me through basic writing styles, and she was a content editor in the book, and she was amazing. But God did that. Mm-hmm. He places the right people in your path when you need them, and that you can be confident of.
So what was the biggest surprise? You're writing the book. You've told me a few things where you'd be asleep and then just bam, you're awake and you're like, I gotta write that down.
Yes.
Is there something that's just like you were so amazed that this happened during the time that you were writing the book?
Well, the thing that's most amazing to me, Chris, is that people want to read it. Because the confidence of my writing style and skill, you do question, will anyone want to read this? Oh. And so I think for me, the surprise is, yeah, a year later, it's been published and people are still asking for copies. They're still showing up and they're still asking for interviews like this to find out more of the behind the scenes story. And I think for me, that's the most remarkable thing, is that folks want to talk about prayer and answers to prayer. Because that's my heartbeat. It's not about me writing this. It's about giving God glory for what the content is about. And it always points back to him, not to me.
So what has been the response of the people who have bought the book and read the book? What are people saying to you?
What's next? They keep asking, I need more. I need more. You have more stories. And why are you not writing it right now? And so that's probably been the most, the feedback that comes back most is what's next? What's the next book? What are you still writing? And it scares me to death that was probably within weeks after it was fresh off of the print and press, that somebody said, are you working on another one? And I thought, I haven't even caught my breath from this one. And that, you know, it's been a year. But yes, the answer is yes.
No. Breaking news.
Yeah, well, it's yes. I didn't say when. Oh, I said yes.
I thought we were about to break something right here.
You know, there is a children's book that I had actually written before this. It's just never been published. So there is one that's in the works. There are other stories that the Lord really has started to unfold. And I don't know if that'll be a year or 2 years, or this one took 50. So, you know, you never know. God's timing is perfect timing. I hope it won't take 50 years to get the second one in print. But, you know, it's not about my time or your time. It's about being accurate with the information being shared. And I just want to be found faithful and obedient to tell others that God is worthy of talking to, and listen carefully, because surely He will talk back.
So I was going to ask another question.
Okay.
But I think that you already answered it, because I was going to ask what's next for you, and you've already put it out there. So it's as if you knew I was going to ask the question. One.
Well, you know, Chris, I think spending this last year with families who are walking through death and dying experiences, in the book, there's several chapters of my own experience with death and dying. And those are some of the most precious memories with my dad, and being able to celebrate the end of his life and the way that God worked in his story. My father-in-law, same thing. My mother-in-law, same thing. My grandmother, who got to see glimpses of heaven before she actually took her last breath. Being able to capture the ever after through the eyes of those that are closest. There's beautiful stories in scripture about those who, you know, heaven's opened up and they're seeing just before they go. And so there's things like that that we're trying to put the pieces together, but we'll see how the Lord wants to reveal those stories and which stories get in the next book.
Well, we have been so blessed to have Joy Bryant, the author of God Talks Back. Joy, where might people be able to find your book?
Couple of places. Easiest would be Amazon.com. The other is my website, joy-laughter.com. There is a link right there on the front page of homepage of my website, and you can click there and it'll take you directly to the ordering page. So feel free there. In times where I'm out speaking, there's a book table. Come up, tell me that you heard the story on this podcast. I'd love to meet you, love to talk with you. I'd love to hear your story.
And that's a true statement from her, that she really does like to connect with those people who have either read the book or need to read the book.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you to reach out to her. Find the website. Say it one more time.
joy-laughter.com.
joy-laughter.com. So we're going to do something that's unprecedented here for the Vertical View. Usually I close this out. I'm going to actually ask Joy to pray, because she is the best at it. As well as we want to hear God talk back. So
yeah.
Again, we've talked to Joy Bryant, the author of God Talks Back. You can find it on Amazon. Go to her website. But Joy, if you would, close this out.
Sure. At the end of each chapter of the book, God Talks Back, there is a section that says, just a little talk with Jesus. And that's what prayer is. So, Lord, as we talk to you today, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for Chris. We want to thank you for the journey that we've both been on, the opportunities that you have given us to influence other people. But, Lord, we only influence based on what you have done in us and through us. I pray, Lord, that as we continue our friendship and as we continue to tell others about you and your faithfulness to us during our dark times and during our times of struggle, that is life. There are dark times in our life. There are struggles in our life. There are times where prayer does not get answered on our timetable. And there are times where prayer, we need answers and you show up in beautiful and amazing ways. So, Lord, whatever the need is, whatever the circumstance, whether it's people or places or things, jobs or finances, whether it's a need for those that we love most to find an intimate relationship with you, God, we're going to keep lifting those individuals to you until they have an encounter with you that changes their lives and rocks their world. Because we know that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you can be trusted. You are worthy of our praise. And we want to be found faithful that when we are gone from this life to the next, that our legacy is they love Jesus more than anything. And the joy of the Lord filled the places that they were in. Take this prayer, Lord. Do with it as you see fit, and may we be found faithful to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And that was Joy Bryant, the author of God Talks Back. It's her lifetime of prayers and their unexpected answers. Awesome job, Joy. Thank you.
Thanks for letting me be with you today.
Well, we've reached the end of another episode of The Vertical View. I want to thank Mrs. Joy Bryant for sharing her story and some behind-the-scenes experiences about her book titled God Talks Back. You can find her book at all the usual places like Amazon, Kindle, or Abe Books, and on her website at joy-laughter.com. That's joy-laughter.com. If you have enjoyed listening to The Vertical View, I'd ask you to subscribe, like, and give us a rating. To learn more about me, follow me on Twitter at @VE_executive. That's @VE_executive. Well, until next time, I'll hope to see you right back here at The Vertical View.